Let's take our Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. And does anybody need one of the handouts? I know there are some that are looking for those that have no blanks in them. Sorry, you're going to have to work at this one, all right? So anybody need a handout? Bob and Richard have got one right down here. Bethany, she needs one. Oh, you got one? Okay, false alarm, Bob. All right. Don't want to get on Bob's bad side on there. Okay, he takes one anyway to fill. That's good. Oh, okay. Okay, we won't mention who he gave it to, but it's her initials are Deborah Lemp. Okay, Proverbs chapter 7. Again, I read this morning a quote on the matter of decisions and choices, and it is interesting how life is made up by the choices that we make. It says, life is about choices. Some we regret, some we're proud of, and some will haunt us forever. In ministry, having opportunity to be in, the Lord has moved us in different places and minister in different places. One of our favorite places besides here was Westfield, Indiana, when I was pastoring there at Trinity Baptist Church in Westfield. And there are times in just working with that church family for about almost 9 years, or almost 10 years, there were different things that would come up, and especially when we deal with working with younger people, high school students getting ready to go into college, my desire was always to try and see if I could help them in making decisions, giving them really some principles to be able to guide them and direct them through God's Word, especially when it comes in the area of, well, it's the Bible doesn't clearly say. It's what we would call sometimes gray issues. Sometimes we'll look at those passages where Paul talks about meat-eating issues and give some principles there. There was a young man that was helping me with something, and we were just going over a series about choices, about how to make decisions and how to look for wisdom. And one of the things that we talk about are filters that you have. We all have filters on how we make decisions. But are the filters correct filters? For some, it's, is it legal? Am I of the right age? Is it against the law? Is it go against my tradition? And there will be different filters that we talk about going in there, but always want to come down to say, okay, what is the wise thing to do? What does the Bible tell us to do? How does the Bible direct us to be able to live our lives? Well, this young man was helping me. And the next day, he had gone to college. He was a freshman. He was pretty excited about that. And he was a typical teenager, sitting through service, and he'd kind of be in and out, kind of paying attention, sometimes not. But then again, consider the source, right? So he came up to me, and as we were working on something, and he said, Pastor Bob, can I talk to you? And he had some tears in his eyes, and where we were at, we went in between two vehicles because we were really helping clean out a house. And as we got over there, and as soon as we got over there, all he could do was cry. And I said, because it was the context of the series we're going through, I said, have you made a decision about something? And it wasn't just a little bit of weeping, it was his face in his hands, tears coming through his fingers, and just the overall sense of seeing this young man with a ton of regret. And I said, was it legal? But he just had a lot of regrets. And prayed with him, and talked with him, gave him more principles, gave him encouragement from God's word. But that's kind of where we get sometimes when it comes to the matter of decisions and make some choices. We want to stay away from that of having regrets. In Proverbs chapter 7, Proverbs 7 there's a story starting in verse 6 that Solomon, the picture is really, he's standing next to us, we're on a balcony, we're looking down at a road, he's putting his arm around us, and he's saying, see that young man right there? See him right there? See where he's walking? And all of a sudden, Solomon tells us where he's going, what he's thinking, what's going to happen. And then he tells us the floor is going to drop out on this young man. And he really does help us see the matter of when the regret hits. It's a young man that is walking down a path, and he is going by his feelings. He's going in a way that he thinks this is going to be a memory that he is going to cherish for the rest of his life. He's about ready to go and experience something that he thinks in 20 years from now, I will be sitting around a group of friends and I am going to be telling this story. And unfortunately, as you have life experience, you understand even as the story starts, especially if you're familiar with reading Proverbs, maybe you do that for whatever the date is, you read that chapter. So you kind of know where chapter 7 is going. But I want us, for the context of this message, just to be able to look at this, and this is going to help us as we look on the matter of making decisions. This is the part of my burden that I've always wanted to help people not experience this. Not to have regrets. How to foolproof their life. And can you foolproof your life according to Scripture? Okay? So look there in Proverbs 7, verse 6. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding. And when the Bible talks about simple ones, it's just talking about the fact of not having experience. Passing through the street near her corner, he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night, and behold, there met him a woman with an attire of a harlot, subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn, her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. She caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved wood works, and with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone at a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. Verse 21 is especially for young men, you want to just highlight this verse because it says, with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. It wasn't how she looked. It was with her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it's for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. This right here is a picture of a young man that is, he's making a decision based on how he feels, of what he wants, and what he thinks life is all about. And what he doesn't realize is the power and the pain of regrets that is about to come into his life. Not until he realizes, like it says, it's like an ox going to slaughter. There comes a point in time where the young man realizes that all of a sudden everything, all this mystery that he had around him is gone and reality sets in. As we look today at this study, what we're going to do is start off by looking at the negative side of making choices, the wrong choices, and that's a matter of regrets. Just going to go through and look and see what the Bible says about that. I want this to be a study and a tool that you can add to your arsenal, that when you're trying to help others, when you're trying to help yourself, this is not a time where we're going to look and say, okay, what about this issue? We're going to talk about this issue. We're not going to be talking about issues. I'll give you some illustrations cautiously to help us think through some things. But this right here is my desire is for you to have some biblical passages and some principles to think through, especially to be able to help yourself, for parents to be able to help your children, for grandparents to be able to help your grandkids, for you to be able to help your friends as you talk through things that they might be wrestling with and giving biblical principles. That's why I call it considerations as we look through this. It's a time where there's going to be some gray issues. And I hope and pray this becomes a help to us. All right, let's pray as we go on. Father, help us now as we look in your word. Lord, I pray that we understand that what you put before us in your word is not only something that helps us in our salvation, but it helps us live everyday life. It helps us to understand how to live the gospel. Lord, there's so many decisions that come our way, so many choices that come. Father, help us to have a desire to gather wisdom, to be able to make wise choices. And when it comes to those gray issues, those that maybe we look at and say, well, there's not a clear passage that says thou shalt not or thou shalt can, may we be able to have biblical support to help us wade through those things. Father, I pray help us use our time wisely, and may this be an encouragement to all of us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, as you have your hand out there, we're going to start off there with a negative side on the matter of regrets. Regrets result from bad choices. As you fill in the blanks there, letter A, they can steal entire stages of life. Regrets can steal entire stages of life. Anybody who works with young people, our desire is always to try and how can I teach this in such a way that's going to unlock that for them, that they're going to go, oh, I see it. Because when you teach, there's nothing better than that. Nothing better than when you see the light come on and they're going, I think I get it. And nothing's worse than when you see this. Is my battery still working? Is this daylight savings time? All right. Those kind of things are where, as the teacher, you want to be able to connect. And one of those things is always, as especially working with kids and as we work with our children, if we can get them a lesson to see they can understand it where they don't have to feel the negative side, right? Well, that's the part of regrets. Regrets can be defined, but I've yet to find illustrations where you see people go, oh, but those who have regrets, we understand. What can we do to avoid those? But to look at these, to understand they can steal entire stages of life. They can leave scars and inescapable memories. And number two, a regret is more than a memory. It's an emotion. It is an emotion. Letter A, their regrets can make you sad. In 1 Samuel 15, 24 through 25, this is the story of King Saul. When he was told by the prophet Samuel, this is what God has told you to do. And Saul decides to do 9/10 of it. He almost got it all done. We just kept the good livestock, and really it was the people's fault. And then remember when Samuel said, who's that guy over there? He goes, well, that's the king. And the whole goal was they were supposed to wipe out this enemy that had been torturing the nation of Israel, and instead Saul just does enough that he thinks, well, it's good. And right then Samuel says, God has rent the kingdom from you. He's going to give this to another. And then you see Saul sees he is sad and he is crying. He says, no, can you still plead to God for me? We see regrets can make you sad. Letter B, regrets can make you angry. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 10. I have some favorite stories in the Bible, but 2 Chronicles 14 through 16 is about King Asa. That is a great story. If you're like going, I'm kind of going through the motions. 2 Chronicles 14 through 16. Great story. You'll love it. All right. This right here is the part where Asa, in the second half of his life, he made the wrong choice. instead of doing what God would have him to do and to pray about everything and ask the Lord for his help, he went political. And he made a decision politically. And all of a sudden the prophet comes. And when the prophet comes, he says, this is what you did. This is what God said. And he said, now, because you did not trust in the Lord, you did not seek after him, you did this on your own, you're not going to have this enemy. Now you're going to have wars. Because Asa's kingdom, for the longest time, all he experienced was peace. In 2 Chronicles 16:10, as you look at the passage, Asa was wroth with the seer. He put him in prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And also, it goes with letter C, regrets can affect others. Because you see that at the end of that verse in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 10, where it says, and Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. He made the bad decision, and he took it out on others. You know, I had a roommate one time, and my roommate was, he was a freshman, I was a senior, already kind of challenging. And I might have told you this story, but bear with me. You gotta hold on. Hopefully it'll be funny. He would at night when we were at a strict Christian college, Pensacola Christian College, had a lights out bell. You had to be in bed at a certain time. And I'm a senior now, and I want to be in bed. All right. So I'm on the top bunk. My roommate's on the bottom bunk. And he is just one of those times where he's just yipping and yapping and talking trash and stuff. I'm like, ugh. And all of a sudden, for some reason, he has Kool-Aid. But he's laying down in his bed. He's laying down, pretend I'm laying down. And he got Kool-Aid, so he's holding it like this. And he's going, I got Kool-Aid, I got, like a freshman would, all right? And so when he says that, I'm like, oh, whatever. I reach over and I hit the lights, and I roll over. And as soon as I hit the lights, I can hear him go, like that. He spilled it all over him. So I turned on the lights, and he had Kool-Aid all over him. And he looks at me and goes, stupid. And I was like, what? This is kind of Asa. Asa makes a decision. He decides to go political. The prophet says, this is what God says. And then all of a sudden it says in 2 Chronicles 16:10, he puts pressure on the seer, throws him in prison, and takes it out on the people. Because of his regrets. Letter D, regrets can affect your health. In 1 Samuel 25, 36 and 38, 1 Samuel 25 is the study that the ladies are doing on Wednesday, and that's on Abigail. And here Abigail has a husband that he made a decision. In fact, he made a decision. He didn't really care what David thought, what David's men thought. And through that whole thing, Abigail comes in, and as you know the story, she comes and appeals to David, brings supplies to them, and even tells David, David, you don't want to do this because one day you're going to be king, and I don't want you to look back on this day and that you caused bloodshed, because David was ticked. In 1 Samuel 25, yes, the guy who plays the harp, the guy who killed the giant, killed the lion, killed the bear, wrote some great psalms, was ticked. And he said, we're going to kill them all. That's how mad David was. Abigail comes and stops him and causes David to see what he needs to see to keep from having a life of regret. When she came back in this passage here, 36 through 38, she then tells Nabal, who just had a party. It was harvest time, and because of the decision, he'd had no idea what was going on in the background, and she comes and lets him know what just happened, and because of his decision, she had to do this and saved everything there, but it caused him, really looks like he had a stroke, and then he died. It's almost like as she's telling him, you can see him just like... So really, there's a part where regrets can affect your health. And then also letter E, you can learn and grow from regrets. 1 Chronicles 15, 9 through 10, it's also going to be the last one you see on the front side there of how Paul dealt with regrets. In 1 Chronicles 15, 9 and 10, where it says, "For I am the least of the apostles and am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." Can you see here that Paul, as he would go out and minister and go to different homes and give the gospel, no doubt there were some that would come and say, "Paul, I appreciate the word that you're teaching. I just have a hard time with you. You did this to my family." And for Paul, that would carry this time as he is giving the gospel and trying to get it from taking it to the Jewish people that then would reject it. And then he's going, "We're going to the Gentiles and we're spreading the gospel." And for all of us here, we say, "Praise the Lord." But as he's giving that message out, still within Paul, before he knew the Lord, he persecuted the church. He had that regret clinging on him. And the next verse says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And this grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." If you're wrestling with regrets, I encourage you to really dive deep on this verse. Tear it apart in a study. Memorize it. Take it step by step. And the key is going to be understanding the grace of God, but also to be able to say, okay, how did Paul deal with these regrets? And this is one of the key verses that you can find on there. Here's some other facts about regrets. Some other facts. Everyone who ends up with regrets are shocked when the regrets arrive. Everyone who ends up with regrets are shocked when regrets arrive. And there's two examples there, the prodigal son in Luke 15 and Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Both of them made decisions. And both of them, I think, in Luke chapter 15 and verse 17 is a key verse in the prodigal son, because it's that time where he had that wake up, where he's like, wait a minute. And the Bible says he came to himself. If you ever are concerned about somebody that your prayers, they just need to wake up. They're not walking with the Lord. They've made a profession of faith. I'd encourage you to pray Luke 15, 17. Pray that God would help them come to themselves. Because the prodigal son, he came to himself, and he's like, okay, what am I doing? And after that, it's even more amazing because he takes action. He just didn't have that warm thought of, I need to do something. Like we hear a message and go, boy, that message really spoke to me. And if we're not careful, we can walk right out with just a good feeling. The prodigal son is such a great example of change, because he got up, he went to his father, he made that decision. He really shows us what to do about times when you regret something. But also the next one was the rich man and Lazarus. Right here, letter B, there's a difference between Luke 15 and Luke 16. Number one, one comes to himself when he still can do something, when he can still do something about it. That's the prodigal son. He can still do something about it. Number two, the other comes to himself too late. This is the rich man when he has died, and now he's in eternity. And now you see he's got regrets. Number three, if you think this is foolish and you feel that you can control your life, remember, you will come to yourself sooner or too late. So it's an interesting study on the matter of Luke 15 and 16 that helps us on there on understanding the matter of regrets. And then let us see how Paul dealt with regrets. Again, I would star that, circle that, and make that your own personal study of how did Paul go about in the ministry at times carrying these regrets that he says this, I persecuted the church. All right, so on the backside here, as we go on to this next part with the time we have remaining, we're going to look at some practical counsel when making choices. Here are some things that this is not going to be earth-shattering. Many of you have these, but I don't know about you, but as I keep my files, I do have a file folder, a digital file folder, full of material like this that I keep, that I access, that I share with others, that I especially share with my kids and my family. As we think through decisions that we make, these are principles that we talk about. So number one on practical counsel when making decisions, don't make choices based on your feelings. Don't make choices based on your feelings, all right? Or you can make it a little bit more practical. Don't go shopping when you're hungry, okay? might be, okay, we're not taking testimonies at this time. We're not going to go that way. Proverbs 28:26 says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." Let's go ahead and read that together as you look at the screens. Proverbs 28:26, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." This is going to be a key when it comes to making choices and decisions. A great verse to be able to share with friends and family when you're talking about these things, going, okay, are you doing this because, if you're doing this because you want to, just understand here's a great verse to consider. Number two, it becomes harder when these two elements are involved, when there's a lot of emotion. And I put there the example is Esau. When Esau sold his birthright, he was hungry, he didn't care, and Jacob, again, tricked him and said, give me your birthright. He goes, what do I care? I'm so hungry. He's so emotional at that time. And then letter B, when there's not enough experience and or lack of education, a lack of knowledge. When there's not enough experience and or a lack of education. A passage to put on there, I didn't have it on the handout there, but you want to put off to the side there, Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9 is the story of the Gibeonites that fooled the children of Israel to make a treaty with them when they were just a sand dune away, and they tricked them into saying, we're from a far country. As you read that, one thing that happened is the children of Israel, they had a lack of knowledge, but they had great experience. They just didn't know who these people were. But they did have some experience, but the challenge was they felt this is in their wheelhouse. As you look especially at verse 13, you'll see they make a decision based on their experience, and it even says they don't seek the Lord. But I don't look at that as something that they were rebellious or they're fighting God, going, we don't need God. No. They knew they needed him, especially as you look at the context of Joshua. They knew that, but in that specific area, they were talking about looking at evidence that had to do with a lot of hiking. And for them, that's what they did. They did that for 40 years. They didn't seek the Lord. They went by their experience. So when it comes in that part right there, they didn't have all the information. This is a time where they still need to do the next thing. Number three is seek counsel. In there, I listed a lot of verses. We won't look at those at the time. But again, who wrote the book of Proverbs? Solomon. What is Solomon known as? Okay, wisest man who ever lived, great architect, great writer, great poet, great counselor, great finance guy. Also, first half of his life was great, second half was not too great. In fact, he didn't follow his own proverbs. One thing about Solomon is this: we know he's the wisest man who ever lived. He's also the man that wrote more about seeking counsel than any other place in Scripture. For the wisest man who ever lived, he gives us more about when you get to an area that you're not sure on, you need to seek counsel. And then also there, letter A characteristic of wise people, they never get to the point where they do not need counsel. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, where it says, let's see, as it comes up. Proverbs 1 verse 5, we got that one? It's coming, okay. A wise man will hear, will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. We got 12:15. We got that one? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. And then I just give you that encouragement, I think a verse that we all know of, Proverbs 3:5-7, memorize and apply this scripture, where it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. It's funny, it doesn't say put all your weight on your understanding. Just don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, pray to him, and God shall direct your paths. Then verse 7, avoid pride, fear the Lord, stay away from evil. Proverbs 3:5-7. We usually know the first part, trust in the Lord. But that's another one of those verses that you take and you shaft down deep on. So here we go on this section here with the time we have remaining, 8 considerations for making wise decisions. And I want to preface this. This is for you, okay? This is not for, what about this issue? What do you think about this issue, okay? I'm not talking about culottes tonight. I know you were hoping I was going to bring the great debate of culottes. Is that what we have to have? Not going to go there, all right? This is not what we're going to talk about. This is a time for you to take some passages and to be able, if there's some areas that you're thinking, okay, what, I can't find a clear answer in Scripture. It just seems like it's a gray area for me. What can I do? This might be for parents. Your children are coming up saying, what about as I'm living my life and I'm about ready to make these decisions? And Deb and I, as we worked with our kids as they went off to college and they were going to start being on their own, as our son went into the military, we talked about all these things because all of a sudden they're going to be in situations when they're on their own and they have to make decisions and mom and dad aren't going to be there. And for some, they might be like, all right, mom and dad's not going to be here. But also we wanted to counsel to say, be careful as you take these next steps. So on here, some 8 considerations. We have vertical, relational, and internal. Vertical is our relationship with the Lord. Relational is how it affects others. And internal is how it affects me. And I will tell you this, is we're looking at issues where there might be some things you're wrestling with that you might not want to talk to somebody, or there's sometimes you might go and say, well, I'm thinking about this, and what does the Bible say on this, and it seems to be a great issue. There are sometimes we make decisions based on where we're at in our faith. When I was growing up as a young person, my dad would not allow us to drink pop from bottles. He would not buy soda in glass bottles, and that's the only thing it came in when I was a kid with Thomas Edison. All right, so in that, and the reason my dad did that is because on his side of the family, there was alcoholism. And he was thinking, okay, if I can keep my boys from drinking out of a bottle, and that was just my dad's thought. And that was as we were growing up until I got into upper elementary. We didn't have soda because my dad later told me as I was older, he said, that's why I did that. I didn't know what else to do. He made that decision for us. I had a friend who had a problem in what he viewed. He was a traveling salesman in the company he was with. He was traveling every week and he'd have to stay in hotels. He said, I would go to the hotel and he said, finally, I would go in and say, okay, I'm coming at this time. I need you to take the TV out of the room. And I said, sorry, sir, we can't do that. So he said, I started bringing tools. And he said, I would come in, I would take the TV, I'd take it off the brace, I would take it down to the front desk, and this was before there were flat screens, and he would take it down and he would set it on the counter and said, you can install this when I leave. He did that because he said, the only way I was going to survive the week is I needed this out of my room. For some, you might look at that and go, it's a little extreme. I get it. But for him, he needed that. There's going to be some areas where this is really kind of just for you. And as you work on this and as you think through things, and maybe this is something you say, well, you know, Bob, I'm really good on a lot of this. This might be helpful for maybe a friend or a family member, all right? So here we go on there for number one on vertical. Will this bring glory to God? A verse that we're very familiar with, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Will what I'm doing, the activity I'm going to be involved in, the decision I make, can this bring glory to God? Number two, is this a decision that Jesus would make? And it should be 1 Peter 2, cross out verse 23, it's verse 21, where it says this, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. So this right here is, again, is this a decision that Jesus would make? And then number three, will I be proud of this decision at the judgment seat of Christ? Romans 14:12 says this, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Also put down next to that 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. This is saying where we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, giving account of what the choices we made, whether good or bad. Okay? So these right here are vertical things. These are things that you look through this activity, this issue that you're wrestling with, and answer these questions. Now it comes relational. Number 4, would I want this done to me? Would I want this done to me? Romans 13, verses 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Does it go through 10? For this thou shalt not commit, adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So a good question would be to say, would I want this done to me? Number 5, could this appear wrong when it's not wrong? Could this appear wrong when it's not wrong? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And again, this is where something, now, I know part of you, well, what about this? No. This is something that you're looking at and you're walking with the Lord and you're involved in an activity and all of a sudden, okay, this is just a question. Does this appear wrong even though it's not wrong? I won't even give that illustration. All right, we'll just leave it at that, okay? Number 6, will this cause a brother or sister in Christ to struggle spiritually? Will this cause a brother or sister Christ to struggle spiritually? Go ahead and take your Bibles, go to Romans chapter 14. Let's go ahead and put our eyes on this together. Romans chapter 14 and verses 13 through 21. Let us not therefore judge one another, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died? Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things whereof one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. This right here, when it comes to the matter of, okay, what am I about to do? Is this going to cause a brother or sister in Christ to struggle spiritually? As we live our lives, we're saved by Christ, we're to live our lives for others. And it's in the matter we got to watch out for those around us, especially as we have family. We're going to have weaker brothers and sisters, our children, and our families. This is something that we have to consider. There was a time I talked to Les Olala, who used to be the president of Northland Baptist Bible College, and he was really one of the gurus of the faith. Just an encouraging guy, and if you've ever heard Les Olala, just a great practical man of the scriptures and gave great principles. In this, we were talking, he said, Bob, he said, in this passage, it's talking about weaker brothers, it's talking about stronger brothers. He said, but there's one brother there that's not seen, but he's around, and that's the ticked off brother. Just doesn't like grace, especially when it comes to others, kind of like the idea of the Pharisees. This right here is when this passage comes in, and as you ask questions that you're trying to make a decision. You're in a gray area. Here's consideration. Is this going to cause a brother or sister in Christ to struggle spiritually? Then number seven, this is internal. Could this lead me to bondage? Could this enslave me? 1 Chronicles chapter 6 and verse 12. 1 Chronicles 6 and verse 12 says, okay, wrong verse, 1 Corinthians, sorry. I'm all about Abihu, but I don't think this applies here. All right. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And then finally, can I do this with confidence that this is right? Can I do this with confidence that this is right? Romans chapter 14 and verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth him, not himself, on that which he alloweth. Now, when it comes to this, especially young people, I want you to hear me on this one. When it comes to the matter of making decisions, and you get to this one, can I do this with confidence that this is right? There are times you're going to be living your life and living for Christ, and there's going to be some choices, some decisions, some things that maybe when you look at it, you're going, I'm just having a hard time with this. There are times where it could be the answer is this, not now. Not now. If you can't do it by faith, then you need to wait. It might need to be an area where you study things through, where you need to think through Scripture, where you get more counsel, you look at the whole counsel of God, and you think through this and say, okay, is this right here? There are certain things that I know I can speak for me that it's just not right for me. It could be right for you, that's fine, but not right for me. I can't go against my conscience. But there are times where also when I was younger, there was things that came up that it was like, okay, my conscience was saying no, but as I grew in my faith, as I studied things out, and then I could make a decision based on faith. Not based on feeling, but based on faith. But if God gets our conscience and you're like, I'm just not sure, the best thing you can do is don't. Not now. Maybe later. Just not now.